I'll try to make something out of that. Open your Bibles to John, 1 John, chapter number 5. And what can I say? I can't tell any of my experiences. I have some, but I don't. Brother White's got his pinching episode. I've got mine. I can't tell nobody about mine. I say unusual things, and praise God, I don't even want to repeat them. I do want to say this, that I was in the fellowship for years, and running no more in school than church than Brother Hughes does. They wouldn't let him pick up the offering, much less speak. Isn't that a shame? Well, they just, amen, they're missing out. Now, what he just got through speaking about is deep, profound, wise, glory to God. And many of the things I needed in my heart and my life have been met in this meeting already, and I praise God for this meeting. And then to have the privilege to stand up here and say anything is a great, great privilege, and I appreciate it. Now, I had two or three things that I wanted to preach about. We have a Christian school. I'm making a study of the character of children in Christian school. I have some things I'd love to say about that, but I'm going to preach on something that's difficult to preach on. And if you don't understand it when I get through, it won't be your fault. It'll be my fault. But I believe with all my heart that fundamental people need to hear this. I believe the Bible has something to say about it. And so I'm going to take your time this morning, and I'm going to say something about it. Now, I would like you to do this. How many of you would promise before God right now that you'd keep the person next to you awake for the next 30 or 35 minutes? You'd keep them, I'm just liable to put you right to sleep. My granddaughter likes to be read to, and I don't read anything to any granddaughters. I turn the book upside down, read backwards. Everything in the world to discourage them from bringing me a book to read. And so I was reading a book, and she crawled up in my lap and said, "Read to me, Papa." So I began to read to her this material that I'm going to preach. My wife was sitting right across from me. She turned around, slapped me in the face, and got down. I have a daughter that's got some sense, and I tried to discuss this with her, and she said that is the most... She said, if there's anything in the world that I'm not interested in, she said that's two notches below anything that I'm interested in. So nobody's interested in this but me. And I'm bound and determined to preach it anyway. If there's nobody ever gets interested in it but me. All right, I'm going to have Brother Marvin Clanton pray for me. You pray before I read, Brother Clanton, would you? You pray that God will help us.
God, I pray, Father, that you anoint his eyes. Mm. I pray, Heavenly Father, you eliminate his mind. Mm. I pray, God, you eliminate our ears. I pray, God, what you want done in this service has been done for the honor and glory of God.
There are two things I'd like to accomplish. The first thing I'd like to accomplish is to give you an explanation of why things are the way they are. Now, this is not the explanation of why things are the way they are, This is an explanation of why things are the way they are. This is only one reason among many, but it is a very important reason. The second thing that I'd like to accomplish in this is to make you feel very good about what you believe. I was talking to a young man about talking to educated people. And he said that he felt a kind of a inferiority complex, a kind of a deficiency in talking to people who had an education. And I want to, maybe we feel that way. Maybe you feel that way. I think Brother Earl Hughes got one of the finest educations of any man I've ever heard. But I want to preach this not only so that you will know what's going on and why it's going on, but you'll know that you've got the only answer. Now, I'm not talking about we've got the best answer. I'm talking about we have the only answer. Nobody else has got an answer. There is no reason for any child of God to feel inferior to anybody when it comes to facing the real, genuine problems that are in this world. We've got the answer. The title of the message is The Triumph of the Trinity. And I'll do my best to try to show you how the Trinity can solve the most complex problems, the problems that philosophers have never been able to solve, or solved by the Trinity. Now, I'm going to try to show you what these problems are and why the philosophers have never solved them. Now, when you hear the word philosophy, you can just go right to sleep. But you've got one. However you look at, however you think about life, what your basic presumptions are about how you got here and what you are, is a philosophy. And what men do in the upper stratas of higher learning, it takes it about 50 years, but pretty soon what they'll do will be what they think will be happening on the street. What's happening on the streets of the world today and in the governments of the world today is a result of philosophies that were carefully thought out and written down and have been taught in colleges for 50 or 75 years. Man. And it does affect you. First John chapter 5, verse 7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word. I take that to be in the beginning was the Word. Am I right? Amen. I take that to be Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That is the most profound philosophical statement that has ever been made. There has never been a more profound philosophical statement than that statement. That's it. That's the epitome. That's what all of the philosophers in the world have been looking for. Since time began, the philosophers of the world have been looking for something that will bring unity and diversity together. A great man once drew a painting, and in that painting he drew the first two principal philosophers or thinkers of all time. They've never been out-thought. They've never been out-philosophized. Their philosophy is still the core of modern philosophy. In that picture, a man by the name of Plato is pointing up, and he's indicating that there are universals. There is a unity, he says, to all things. He's pointing up, and he's indicating by pointing up that I believe in the unity of all things. standing right beside him is a man by the name of Aristotle. And Aristotle is pointing down, and he's pointing down, and he's saying, I believe in the diversity of things. But there was no philosopher was ever able to bring together unity and diversity. Nobody was ever able to explain the one and the many. Nobody was ever able to do that. Now in the book of Romans it says when they knew God, here's their motive. You say, Brother Jones, what's their motive? Why don't they just believe in the Trinity? Why don't they just accept what God says and go ahead? Well, the Bible says here in Romans chapter 1, for the invisible things of him from creation are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal Godhead. So the Godhead, amen. What's the Godhead? Come on, what's the Godhead? The Godhead is the Trinity. Is that not right? Am I giving a rightly dividing of the word of truth? You see, that's important. The power and Godhead, the Trinity, he's saying that in everything he's saying, listen to me, he's saying that the Trinity is manifested in everything you see. Now you're going to see that in a minute. Did you understand? Hey! He said, what do you got these boards for, Brother Jones? If you don't listen to me, I'm going to knock you in the head. You better behave. You better be sure that the guy next to you behaves. I'll throw this board at him, hit you, because I can't so good. Come on, listen. Everything you see has the stamp of the Trinity of God in it. The triumph of the Trinity. Well, they didn't like that, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There's your answer. They did not, who changed the glory of God into the incorruptible God, into the image of made like an incorruptible man, a bird, four-footing beast, creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to the time of their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a what? They changed it into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. Now it goes on to say that they did not like, they did not enjoy, they were not like Brother Earl, they did not want to retain the knowledge of God. So they set out to describe the world and the universe in which we live independently from God. They set out to do it. Now the problem with that is they have the schools and they have the minds and hearts of the boys and girls of America. They own the media. They own the publishing company. They've raped the minds of people. What I'm going to explain to you now will explain to you the difference between a pagan culture and a Christian culture. It'll explain to you the difference between modernism and real Bible-believing people. Number one, there is a manifest unity to all things. There is a unity in all animals. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you look at a snake or a toad frog or a bat or a rat or a cat. It's got two eyes, a mouth, a digestive tract. Whether he's warm-blooded or cold-blooded, he works pretty much the same. Can I get an amen on that? There is a unity among animals. There is a unity in among vegetables. I mean, different kinds of trees and grass and all this stuff pretty much grow and work and process their food pretty much in the same way. And then there is a unity in the minerals of the earth. There is a certain, wake the person next to you up, turn around and say, wake up. Turn around and say, listen to the preacher. Now, Not only is there a unity in the kinds of animals, not only is there a unity in the types of vegetables, not only is there a unity in things material, but then there is a unity between the animals, the vegetables, and the material things. There is a unity. It's called ecology. We breathe in oxygen, we breathe out carbon dioxide, the tree takes in the carbon dioxide and turns the carbon dioxide into oxygen. There's an ecology. We have to have the minerals from the ground, and when our body processes those, and those minerals go back into the ground, and then the vegetables use that decaying matter to produce more trees and so forth, and if man would not fiddle with it, the earth would just go right off. God made it that way. So there is a unity. All pagan religions have one principal main god. Now they might have 50 gods, they might have 100 gods, but somewhere behind the 50 or the 100 or the 200 gods that they have a main god. There he is. Now you have a problem. The pagans got a problem. Say, why didn't pagan culture advance? One man said, necessity was the mother of invention. Well, if the necessity was the mother of invention, the Africans, amen, and the people in India would be far ahead of us. Yeah. They said, well, hardship causes people to work and produce things to make labor easier. Well, if hardship was what made civilization advance, then China and India should have the most advanced civilizations on earth. What makes civilization advance is how people view God. It is their view of God. Now, we're going to make something with boards. I mean, you can build something with boards, amen? So the pagans got how many gods? How many gods he got? Well, no, he's got one principal god. If he's a Chinese, it might be told. If he's a Hindu, and he believes in 100 gods, but behind that god, behind all of those gods, is one principal god, Vishnu, or Ra, or whatever. How many gods he got? One. What can he build? You say, why did their culture stop? Hey, listen to me. They had mathematics. They had mathematics 2,000 years before we had mathematics. We use Arab mathematics. The Aztecs, Indians invented the zero, but they could not advance their culture like we did. Why? Well, you're looking at it. You can't build anything with what? You can't build nothing with one board. You're not going anywhere with one board. You see, the unity of all things does not explain the diversity. So what? You've explained that all things have unity. There's one God, He made all things. All things are unified. Wonderful. But there's another problem. There is a unity to all things, but there's also what? There's also a diversity. I saw Dr. Green one time, and I forgot what he showed, and then I asked him to explain it again to me, and he did, and he got three songbooks, and he put them up, and he said, that's animal, vegetable, and mineral. And he said, no time did these ever change. Never did vegetable come up here and be what? Animal. And never did animal become vegetable. There's a diversity in all things. Now, having one God does not explain. It explains how things are alike. Are you listening? Turn to the fellow next to you and say, listen to the preacher a few minutes. Tell him, listen to the man for a minute. Y'all listen back there on the back? Some of you not. Now, So the pagan said, we'll have a god of fire and a god of wind and a god of this. Now they got a whole bunch of gods. And they said, there's diversity. But there's no relationship between the what? There's no relationship between the unity and the diversity. In other words, they can't bring these things together. You say, yes, you can, Brother Jones. You can. Wait a minute. You start bringing together, then you've introduced intelligence and a creative intelligence into the thing. Now, the modernist, bless his poor, feeble mind. How many ever heard of uniformitarianism? Yeah, some of you have. Well, the modernist said that way, 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 way back yonder, they got all the time in the world. You see, God created just so much time, and Brother Hughes is right about redeeming the time because God only made so much of it. But the evolutionist says there's all kinds of time. And way, way back yonder, everything was in one inseat, tenseat, teeny weeny, 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 weeny speck. Everything. And this speck was infinitely small, it was infinitely dense, and because it was infinitely small and was infinitely dense, it got infinitely hot. And it blew up. And this man here's got a college education. I can guarantee you that I'm giving you the very latest scientific information. It blew up. And out of that explosion, whoosh, came everything that's here. Even my right eye. And this guy's got one board. He ain't got any more boards than who? He ain't got any more boards than the pagan. He's got the same. By the way, Hinduism will become one of the principal religions of this country. All you kung fu folks that meditate and look for the inner peace and the inner power. You see, there's no difference essentially between the pagan and the modernist. He's got how many boards? One board. He can explain the unity. All things came from one thing. But he's stuck again where? He's stuck again on diversity. He has no way to bring these things together. He doesn't have any way in the world to bring them together. That's his great problem. Now, there's diversity, living and non-living. There's animal, vegetable, and mineral. There is further diversity. Everything after its kind. Now listen to me. Are you listening? There's all of creation over here. And then there's man over here, and he's different from everything. Now, out of this great explosion that you had, and this guy's running around with one board saying he knows it all, and he's got it all, he has no explanation for how he is. He has no explanation for soul. He has no explanation for consciousness. He has no explanation for his own being. He's in a mess. He's fouled up. You're going to find out how big a mess he's in a minute. Now, he's got the explanation for unity, but no explanation for what? Diversity. Have you ever wondered why life is so cheap to an Oriental or a pagan? Because when you have unity, but no diversity, individuals don't mean what? They don't mean anything. You see, it's not that they just think that life is cheap. To them, life has no meaning. If you're killed, you just go back into the cycle of life and you're reborn again at another point in time as another thing. That's the pagan's explanation. Now, this is what it causes. Are you listening? This makes the pagan active toward God. He'll go get a chunk of wood, he'll take out his knife, and he'll carve himself what? A god. He's active toward God, but how come he won't fertilize his ground? How come he won't build a dam? How come he won't poison the bug? Because he's passive toward what? Come on, he's passive toward what? He's passive toward nature. You see, because he believes in the uniformity of all things, that all things are God and God is all things. Now, you laugh at that, but they got a nut that's talking like that that's fixing to take over an entire county in Oregon. They got a guy that's got enough people following him to take over the government of the entire county in Oregon. God is all things. God is love. All is love. Unity, but know what? So he's active toward God. He'll make God whatever he wants God to be. But he's passive toward what? In Christianity, we're told to bring all creation under our dominion. So we're passive toward who? Who are we passive toward? Who do we submit and yield to? We're passive toward God. But if a tree gets in our way, what do? Cut it down. If I get a roach in my house, hey, kill him. Amen? Somebody's cow comes in my yard and starts eating my garden, I'm going to take a stick of wood, go out there and bash him in the head. Amen? Now, sacred cow. You see? You see the difference? You see why we advanced and they didn't? Now, are you ready? Yeah. Tell the person next to you to stay awake now. Ask the fellow next to you, say, have you understood anything he said? Are you listening?
Amen.
Not only that, but since when all of this explosion happened, you wouldn't believe this, brother, but the latest theory of how things got the way they are, the latest, Brother Earl, scientific explanation of how things got the way they are is the predestination of matter. When it blew up, it was predestinated to come to my right eyeball. Now, wait a minute. All of those people say good luck. They believe in luck. They believe in faith. Now listen, are you listening? They believe that all responsibility is in nature, and no responsibility is in who? Me. You see, because they believe in the uniformity of all things, they got one board. Well then, all meaning, all being, all effort is in nature, and responsibility is in nature and not in man. For whatever happens to me is kismet. Here the Jews and the Arabs have the same ancestry. Yet the Jews with the Trinity build a tremendous, vibrant country. And the Arab is still riding on his what? You better think about that. You see, the more pagan this country becomes, the less people want to take responsibility for their lives. The more they believe that responsibility, are you listening? The more they believe that responsibility should be centralized. Where? In the government. That's just another way of saying, I'm not responsible. Reagan is responsible. Oh, baloney. You stand in the white throne judgment, you find out who God holds responsible. We stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll find out who God holds responsible. And here this pagan is going around with one board, and we're sending missionaries to him, and then across the stage comes a modernist, amen, with a PhD, and how many boards he got? He got the same board.
And we're worried about him. I'm concerned about it. Now, here's the boards that belong to God. Are you listening? Well, we had another bad year in Russia in the crop. You cannot believe what the latest Russian minister said. The agriculture minister, brother, he said, what we need to do is offer personal incentives. These farmers are not going to grow this junk and have us take it away from them. We're going to have to offer these people some personal incentives to get them involved in growing these crops. We're never going to get nothing to eat over in Russia. So, at one place, he denies personal responsibility, and all the responsibility is inherited in the communist government. But in the other place, he speaks over here. He's got his one board. See, communism, having all things in what? Coming clear to you? Turn to the person next to you and say, it's clearing up. He goes over here and he steals him a couple of boards from the Bible. The man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. And he uses these misappropriated boards to prop up his stinking old structure. Amen? And then he stands back and says, look what we've done. But we say, wait a minute, no. This personal responsibility board and this productivity board, this work ethic board, this dominion board, that belongs to God. And he said, well, you know, necessity, that's right. He's just pragmatic. He said, if it uses it, work. Loaded dice work. Jack Wilkes said, you can get money with a gun. That'll work. Ain't right. So he's got how many boards? He's got one board and he stole him a few. And he's got his old junk all propped up. He's holding them up with whose board? And we're ashamed of what we believe. And his junk won't walk on its own. He's carrying his God. Amen. He's carrying his God around. He's got to hold it up and support it. Gets tired of doing that. So he said, hey, we can't hold this junk up anymore. Let's get something. They said, well, the only thing that's ever worked over here is if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. Well, let's get a little of that and we'll hold this junk up a while. Well, here's what happened. A moderate can make change. He can count from 1 to 10. Amen. He's completely logical. He's totally logical. On this side, he's logical. On his logical side, he looks at the fossils, and they don't prove what? They don't prove evolution. No, sir. No. So he runs to the laboratory, and he plugs all this junk into the computer, and the computer coughs up something and says, it ain't so, bud. You can't make it work mathematically. Your one board will not compute. So all of his evidence tells him that evolution is not what? All his evidence tells him evolution is not so. His logic says not so. His science says what? Not so. So he steps over here and he says, it is too so. I believe it to be so. All right. Now he's logical and what? Illogical. At the same, how many times? Now, if you get that way and you go to a shrink, he'll tell you you've got schizophrenia. That's schizophrenia. A double-minded man, brother, stand up and quote that real loud. A double-minded man is?
Unstable in all of his ways.
In how many of his ways? So here's a guy over here says, well, the Bible is based on the original, but we don't have it. We've never seen it. We don't know anybody that's ever seen it. And besides that, it never was in all one book at the same time anyway, if anybody ever had it. But over here, we what? We believe it. He's as schizoid as the evolutionist. Now you better pay attention. Oh yeah. Here's a guy over here. He promises to preserve life. He goes over here, and somebody gives him $500 for he does an abortion. You see, once you confess this thing, logic, illogic, you can do what? You can do anything. You can justify anything. Now, Karl Barth, is that his name? Y'all all know how I mean Karl Barth? Karl Barth says that his theology is better than your theology. Karl Barth says his faith is better than your faith. Karl Barth says that his bibliology is superior to your bibliology. This is why. You hand Karl Barth a Bible, any Bible, doesn't make it what difference what it is. You say, you believe that's the Word of God. He's absolutely not. Has he got mistakes in it? Yes. Full of them. Full of errors. Full of mistakes. Is there any possibility, Mr. Barth, this is the Word of God? No, sir. There's not. And then he goes over here and says, but we're going to believe it is anyway. And since you believe the Bible is the Word of God, and then you come over here and you say you believe it, that's not very much faith. I mean, I don't believe it, but at the same time I was. Believe it. See, my faith is superior to yours. Because I'm believing in something that's not even believable. You say, he's crazy. There he is. He's got, how many boards he got? He's trying to build something with what?
One board.
He got one board, he can't make nothing out of it. So he just imagined something going to be made out of it. So they taught this, and they taught this, and they taught this, and they taught this, and finally, they gave up trying to bring unity to what? Diversity through logic and through science. Are you listening? Turn to the fellow next to you and say, I'm listening. So they said, since we could not discover it logically, we will try the illogic. You believe us or not? But Ananias Huxley wrote a book that said, since logic has failed to produce reality, we'll try drugs. And through drugs, we will find reality. And that is the philosophic basis for the drug culture. That's why the drug culture today has prominent standing. Because it rests upon philosophical basis. Did you believe the same thing is true of pornography? With a pornographer, he says, I don't know whether I am or not. I've only got one board, and if I've only got one board, I can't identify anything with this one board. I don't know whether I am, I don't know whether I ain't. So I'll go out and do something that's really rotten and low down and sorry. And if I can do something rotten enough and sour enough and putrid enough, I'll be able to finally feel it. And if I can do something rotten enough and corrupt enough and sour enough that I can feel, then that will affirm my what? Reality. So this philosophy gave birth to a philosophical pornography. Now, of course, the drugs were, the philosophy of the drug culture was exploited by just plain crooks. And the philosophy of the pornographer was exploited by just plain crooks. But it had a philosophical beginning. It had a philosophical beginning and a desire to find unity in what? And they were not able to do what? They said, well, we've got one board, and we'll just imagine what? We'll just imagine the rest of them are there. You say, government doesn't make sense. How can we keep spending money and spending money and spending money when we don't take it in and running up the national debt? How can we do it? They don't have to justify it. On the one side, they know they're going to go broke. But on the other side, they believe that they're going to overcome it. How are you going to overcome it? We're going to continue to do the same things that created it. Y'all understanding me? Now then, and we feel inferior to that. Try going around trying to build a house with one board. Or he gets himself three boards, but he's got no plan to bring them together. He's got no purpose to bring them together. So he's running around here with these three boards, and he said, I know I got three boards, but I can't make nothing with them. I done made something. Three is the least number of boards you need to make a geometric figure. Father, son. Oh, wait a minute now. How many gods I got? Ooh, but I got how many persons in there? Now I found a way to have unity, and because is the Father the same as the Son? Oh no, the Father's not the same as the Son. Oh, you thought he was? Oh no, he's different. He's just as much God as God is, but he's not the same person as God. You want to get at somebody that's really, somebody who'll really blow your mind for stupidity. Find you a oneness Pentecost. Jesus Christ is standing in the water. The Spirit of the Dove is here, and God's speaking from heaven, and Jesus is talking to himself all the same time. I'm in a oneness Pentecost. Amen. He's running around with how many he's got, how many boards he's got. Brother Jack Wood said he's a few boards light. Amen. He ain't got a full string of fish. No, the Father's not the same as the Son. Y'all need to settle that. They are separate personalities. And yet they have a perfect what? Unity, a perfect harmony. Well, you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, not only we got the first geometric figure, we got the simplest geometric figure, but that's not all. How come these things here are sitting on tripods? See them tripods? How come they're sitting on tripods? Oh, yes, yeah, stabilize it. You don't have to level no tripod. You just set a tripod down, it'll what? It's the most stable figure. It's not just the first geometric figure. It's not just the simplest geometric figure, but it's the what? Now, it seems to me like out there on the desert of Gaza are some buildings that's been there. And there's some people, there's some legitimate Bible scholars that believe that Job built them things. What are they? Oh, it's not only the first geometric figure, it's not only the simplest geometric figure, it's not only the most stable geometric figure, but it's the strongest. You'll not build anything stronger than a pyramid. You'll not. Hey, any way you turn it, it's sitting on its what? You turn the thing over and it's sitting on its... Amen? You turn over, it's still upright. You can't mess a triangle up. Now, what did I say they'd be able to see the Godhead was visible in creation? Didn't I say that? Did I say that? I said that. What time is all this going on? Am I all right, Dr. Lackey? Talk 30 minutes yet. I wanted to get something and hold this together, but I didn't have anything. I hate for that to fall apart.
Now try to walk real still. All right. Wake up. Let me look at my notes. Find out where I'm at. I'm nearly through. Okay? Now listen to me. Brother Marvin, get a Bible and look at Romans chapter number 1 and stand up and read that real loud. Will you, Brother Marvin? I want Brother Marvin to read that real, real loud. Verse 20, Brother Marvin. Real, real loud. Well, I'll think here just for a minute and pray. Marvin's going to read that while I think here and get all this organized in my gourd.
For since the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Hear that? Says that we can clearly see the Trinity where? In everything that's what? In everything that's made. All right? Now, look up here. Everything that exists in this universe, everything that exists in this universe is one of three things. It's time, it's space, or it's matter. That's what? That's the Trinity. So far as time is concerned, there's, what is there for time? There's the past, there's the present, and there's the future. So far as matter is concerned, there's animal, there's vegetable, and there's mineral. So far as the created things are concerned, every color that you see is some combination of red, blue, or yellow. You can take red, blue, and yellow and make every color in the spectrum of the sun. They're all artificial colors. Music. It's harmony, melody, and what? How'd your car get here? Fuel, oxygen, ignition. Every computer, no matter how complicated it is, every computer in the universe works on these three principles. Volt, amp, resistance. I don't care how complicated that computer is. One of those three things is going on inside that computer. There's nothing else. Now the devil's got his. There's the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's the lust of, and there's the pride of, there's the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. There is lust, there is sin, and there is death. Everything, every major principle on the universe, all the major principles. There is the home, there is the government, and there is the church. Did you ever think about the United States government? People say it's God-given. Well, in England, you got the king and you got parliament. In the communists, you got the communists. But in America, you've got the judicial, the legislative, and the executive. That's why she's lasted, folks. And if the Supreme Court keeps taking over the job of the legislative, that's what'll tear it down. Are y'all listening? There's the father and the mother and the child. There's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. There's hearing, faith, and repentance. There's salvation, regeneration, and sanctification. Turn to Colossians chapter number 1. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities and powers. All things find their unity in the Lord Jesus Christ. All things were created by him. You see, the pagan has no purpose. That's why he's defeated by the very elements in which he lives. But you and I were created with a purpose to rule and have dominion over this earth. We were created by him. We were created for something. You students are not saved. You weren't created to go to hell. You were created to go to heaven.
Amen.
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 Yet, you'll be influenced by some idiot going around with what? One board. Trying to build a kingdom with what? No wonder he's frustrated. No wonder they go nuts. No wonder they hang themselves. If that's all, if somebody told me one board, said, here, boy, go build a house. I'd go nuts. I'd hang myself. Somebody give me three boards, I'd build something. Bless God, at least I could build a door, and he's the door, amen?
Amen.
All right, now look at it. By him all things were created. And by him, what does it say now? By him all things what? Consist. He is the unifying principle. Now I come down to me and why I'm different from everything else on the earth. Because I was created in the image of God. And God made me body. And God made me soul. And God made me spirit.
Amen.
And because God made me spirit, I need God.
Amen.
Now, the prodigal son did feign to eat the husk of the hogs, did he not? But the husk would not fill his belly. And the more husk he ate, the more his hunger, what, Brother Hughes? Increased. Man needs God. But the more he takes to himself that is not God, he never satisfies his need, don't you see? The more he takes to himself that not is God, the greater he increases his need of what? The greater he increases his need of God. The more he magnifies and the more he takes to himself that is not God, and the more he brings into his life that is not God, the more sawdust he eats, the hungrier he was. Till finally he ends up in perversion. God gave them up to the uncleanness of their own hearts. How many things are religious? How many things were created by Jesus? How many created were created for him? Through him, well, how many things consist? There are no secular categories in life. You belong to love. You belong to God. Lock, stock, and barrel, as Brother Green says.
Yes.
In him you live and you move and you have your being. And you're never going to find yourself for peace or satisfaction outside of the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'll read one more verse and we'll bring this to a close. The world, through its wicked and empty philosophy, its one board philosophy, has alienated itself against God. But beloved, God has not alienated himself against the world. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Here's the need of the hour. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and hath committed unto us the Word. Brother Greg Estep said, the Word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For because he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The world has a hopeless, what? One board, and they're trying to build a life out of what? And the more they try, did anybody ever give you one of them puzzles you couldn't work, one of them wooden puzzles you couldn't work? I hate them things. But the world's trying to work out the puzzle with what? The world doesn't have all the what? The world doesn't have all the pieces to the what? Thank you. The world's not got all the pieces to the puzzle. Who does? We do. Because we have the what? We have the Word of reconciliation. We need to get busy in the world reconciling people to God. Hey! Would you be reconciled to God right now, young man? It's hopeless without him. Don't you see it's hopeless without him? The world has no answer. You say, Brother Jones, it's not that simple. You're wrong. There are only three explanations for how things got here. Explanation number one, everything came from absolutely nothing. Number two, everything came from something that was nobody. Totally impersonal. Or number three, what? Everything came from somebody who was somebody. In the beginning, God. It's not, brothers and sisters, it's not merely the best answer. It's what? Come on, I want to hear you say it. I want to hear you say it. It's not merely the best answer. I want to hear you birds on that roost back there say it. Say it. It's not merely the best answer. It's what? But like my boys. The only answer. You got a problem. God's got the answer. You got sin. You lost. You got a problem. If God's given Jesus to die for you, would you come and receive Jesus as your Savior? Would you? Would you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father and our God, we pray now that you would unction this service, this invitation, these our Father truths that were spoken, though they be spoken by me, yet Heavenly Father, they're true. Lord, those words that Balaam's ass brayed were as true as the Word of God. And our Father, these words are true. These principles are true and righteous altogether. May you draw people unto yourself. May people buck up. Our Father, not be proud. Lord, we be lowly as an ant, Lord, and lowly as that spider. This wouldn't make us proud, Lord, but it'd make us awful thankful that we've got the right answer, that we've got the only answer. We've got the only answer, and the world needs it. Help us to consecrate ourselves that we might be used by God as ambassadors to reconcile this lost and confused world to Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen.
Yeah,